Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear Islamic viewers, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we are back with YOLO. You only live twice. Alhamdulillah, in this program we've got a lot in line for you today. We want to learn about how the good soul leaves the body. We want to learn about time, and we're going to have a beautiful story about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But before we do, a brief recap of where we were brought. You remember in the first few episodes we covered the journey of the soul and how when it comes down to the earth Allah Azza wa Jalla decrees for it everything it's going to have, the lifespan and the rizq, the sustenance it has, and then how we come into this world and we get lost in the desires of the world, and the unfortunate ones are disobedient in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fortunate ones live their life, will stay obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then akhir mawtah, then there is death. And we briefly looked at that in the last episode, and today, on that journey of the soul, inshallah, azza wa jal, we're going to cover the next phase. But before we do, purification, you know, cleansing your body is very, very important. But as well as that, cleansing and purifying the mind is also crucial. What is the use if we're trying to act upon the Qur'an and the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but our hearts are dirty with envy and hatred and all these things and backbiting and lying? So purification of the soul and the mind, the scholars write, is something essential. And let me share with you a beautiful hadith of Mubarakah, because this purification of the mind isn't easy. It's a tough challenge. But there is one secret that can make it quite easy and help you along the way. In a beautiful hadith of Mubarakah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Recite Durood-e-Pak abundantly upon me. No doubt it is purification for you." Alhamdulillah. The scholars write that if you want to get on this road of purifying the heart, the soul, the mind, and the best way to achieve this is to try and cleanse yourself and try and rebuke yourself over the wrongs you do. But as well as that, support yourself with recitation of Durood-e-Pak, because this will help you become clean and pure from the inside. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we're going to move to our first segment, which is the death of the good soul. Now, we all live this life, and there's one thing that is certain when Allah Azza wa Jalla grants you life, that you will one day die. Even those who don't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accept death. Everybody has to accept this stark reality of life, no matter who you are. So the question is death going to be the same for all of us? Are we going to die in the same way? Is it a simple process that we all go through? How does this soul that came into your body when you were a child leave the body and go to the next stage? Because you'll remember we had the stages. You had the creation of the souls and the realm of the souls where we stayed for thousands of years. Then you came into the stomach of your mother, and then we moved into the world, and now the soul is on that journey. And the next phase is after the life is death and moving to the grave. And that death is what we want to study today. And the question is it the same for everybody or is it different? And does What you did in the world affects how you die. So we'll pose that question to, alhamdulillah, our beautiful Shiraz Bhai who's with us today, and Bisharaz Bhai who's just joined us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for taking your time out. I'm going to start with Shiraz Bhai. Shiraz Bhai, everybody comes into the world, has a life, lives their life, and everybody's going to die. Are you all going to die exactly the same way? Is there a process? How does it work?
The Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Tuhfatul mu'minil mautu had." The gift for a believer is death.
Allah.
So now, you know, in our minds today, because a person, like, he lives his life, he has a business, he has cars, clothes, money, houses, everything he has in his life, everything is going well for him. And, you know, this thought of death, it creeps in his mind and he just wants to brush it to aside.
Allah.
And he doesn't want to think about death. And there's many reasons for that, because he's living in such luxury and he thinks that, you know, as soon as I die, this luxury is left behind. I can't, you know, benefit from these privileges that I have built in the dunya. So now a person, he thinks, you know, death is the end to all tranquility and, you know, pleasures. In the Quran, Allah says that قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ, that indeed the death that you are, you know, constantly running away from, the thought of it, you're trying to put it out of your mind, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ, indeed it will catch up to you. So this death that we are constantly,
you can't escape it.
You cannot, you know, even if you brush it under the carpet, it will get us.
So the society we live in, the social structure, but you see, the Islamic society and the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to remember death regularly. But the society we live in, it's a taboo, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. If you mention death, people look at you as if it's something that, you know, is something that you should never have mentioned.
So yeah, so that, you know, the idea, why do even people think, you know, today one of my mission is to make death sound like a good thing.
Allah,
to, you know, death is actually, because you're going in from one dimension to a totally new dimension, and we don't know what's ahead, what's going to happen, so on and so forth. So we are scared, and when we look at a grave, it's so haunting.
Allah.
A person gets frightened by looking at graves, or driving past a graveyard. People don't want to buy homes next to a graveyard. But death is actually a beautiful phenomenon. It's something that, you know, you're going into a new dimension, is a fresh start for everything. Inshallah, we get into that, but death is an amazing thing. It's basically coming from this world into a new world. Now, the question you asked, Harumbai, was, is death the same for everyone? Now, if you look at all the narrations, it gives you the idea that no one's, you know, if someone asks you, and people do, they say, you know, someone's uncle passed away, and they're like, what's happening with my uncle right now? And the straightforward answer is, we don't know. Everyone's death is different. Everyone's, whatever status you have in the dunya as your religious aspects, how pious you were, and how much you abstain from sins. So the status you have in the dunya, this will, you'll have that same type of status in the hereafter. So if a person, for example, was a shaheed, for example, in the dunya, in the hereafter, he'll have one of the highest ranks. If a person was a scholar, for example, he will have a very high rank in the hereafter. If a person was like a cruel person, someone who commits crimes, murder, he will have a different status in the hereafter. So each and every individual will have their own status in the hereafter. No one will be of the same status.
I mean, Harun Bhai, I wanted to come in there, and obviously, alhamdulillah, Shiraz Bhai has mentioned, you know, in terms of the ruh being taken out.
It's amazing.
And, you know, the difference between, you know, the good person and the bad person. But what do we learn from our buzurgan deen, the awliya of Allah Almighty? Just wanted to shed some light on the bright and shining sun of Bareilly Sharif. Alhamdulillah. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi. He left this mundane world on a Friday. And this was the 25th of Safar al-Muzaffar. And the exact time was at the time of Jummah Azan as well. And the date of the Visal of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali was actually deduced himself from the Holy Quran. Yani Ala Hazrat, he even told the date that he was going to pass away by using Ayat Mubarakah from the Holy Quran. And he told this 4 months and 20 days before he actually passed away.
SubhanAllah.
So Alhamdulillah, the Ayat Mubarakah, the translation is, and there shall be passed around them silver vessels and goblets. And it stated that at the time of the demise of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi, a certain saint Rahmahullah in Syria had a dream of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And whilst in this dream he dreamt that he was in Baytul Maqdis, and the saint saw that there were many Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan seated around the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says all of them seemed to be awaiting for someone.
Allah.
And the saint says that in his dream he asked Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose presence is being waited? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied and he said, Ahmad Raza Khan. Oh. And the blessed saint then asked, who is Ahmad Raza Khan? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered and he said, he is an Alim-e-Deen from Bareilly. And then when the saint awoke up, he immediately journeyed from Syria to Bareilly Sharif to meet with Ala Hazrat. But to his dismay, to his disheartenment, he learned that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi had already departed from this world. So what do we learn from this? When Shiraz Bhai mentioned right at the beginning the Hadith Mubarakah that death is a gift, and the way we live our lives is the way we'll go from this world. But look at the demise of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is awaiting them, and the Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan are awaiting
That's
them.
That's beautiful. It reminds me of one of the couplets that Amir al-Sunnat has written, ke attar hamara hai hamara hai hamara kaash ke roze mahshar usko chitti yahi mili ho, is tarah ka sher hai. And basically this is the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, when they've spent their lives in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, then their death is special. So a saying that you'll be raised the way you die.
Exactly.
So the way you die on the day of judgment, when you come out of your grave, so those who are dying in namaz, Allahu Akbar, those who die reading the Quran, the great Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and all these great hasties, they rise on the day of judgment reading the Quran, reading namaz.
Even, right, we're taking it back to predecessors. These were truly nek, pious people. A person when me and you talk about our buzurgs, it's not like an amazing thing obviously to die like that, but okay, they were special people. We know like common people, that, for example, the uncle that lives down the road, he passes away reading the Quran as well. The auntie G who lives down the road, she passed away in sajda as well. So even common people today that live in our neighborhood, they can pass away like this as well.
Let me tell you reminded me of a beautiful story, Mishad Bhai.
I was going to prompt you on it.
Basically, there's a beautiful story, and this is from our local mosque in Bolton. A buzurg, they travel for Hajj. After completing Hajj, they come to Medina Sharif, and they'd always had this liking for seeing the place where they read the janazah in Medina Park, in Masjid Nabi Sharif. And so, the day they get there, after the Salah, they said to a few friends, let's go and look at that place. So they go around to the front, and under the Gumbad-e Khazra Sharif, there is that door. So they go and ask the policeman there, can we have a look inside? So he takes them inside, shows them, look, and when a body comes, we put it here, and then they take it to the front, and then they do the janazah, and then we take it out to here, and it goes all. So then they came out to the door, and they walked all the way to Baki Sharif, as the route goes with the ambulances, those who have seen it, and it goes around there. So they walked all the way around there, went up to Baki Sharif, they made dua, and he went to the hotel room and went to sleep. And this is somebody we knew, a lot of brothers in Bolton know him. Went to sleep, passed away in his sleep, and the next day exactly that happened to him. He had a khwaish, he'd done Hajj, and he had that desire, like a kash, and we all have that desire. But like you said, a lot of us, what we have is this shaitani misconception where we think these are the stories of the old. But they're not. There were people in Ramzan al Mubarak who passed. There was one brother in Bolton who prayed, who had sari, and prayed his fajr, and went to sleep, and passed away in his sleep, in the halat of Roza, in the month of Ramadan, after having prayed fajr.
Rumba, if you remember in our risale a long time ago, they still exist, there was a ustad that used to make his student do azan every time. And whenever the student would look at the ustad would give him permission that go do the azan. And this kept on happening, like this became a routine, or he'd look for the ustad to give permission and he'd do the azan. When this student, he was about to pass away, the ustad gives him permission, or he walks in the room and he starts doing the azan and that person passes away. Mm-hmm. So now the way he lived his life, and this is how he passed away.
I mean, Shiraz Bhai, you mentioned that, you know, a person passing away. In the communities today, we see pious people. And even Madri Channel viewers today, and amongst us here, we may have family members who've passed away, and we've seen them pass away. And we've also seen the lives that they've lived. And we know the difference between good and bad. Allah Ta'ala has given us that much wisdom that we can understand the difference. We know that people who have lived a good life, we've seen the ending has also been good as well. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, if you live a bad life, the ending is going to be bad as well. Allah Hazrati mentions as well, you know, on him passing away, and this is something that we learned through Amir Ahl Sunnat and the Mughal of Dawat Islami as well, that he mentioned that India is India, but I do not feel like passing away in even Makkah. He says, my desire is that I should pass away with Iman in Madinatul Munawwara and be buried with kindness in Jannatul Baqi. And Allah Azza wa Jal is all powerful. You know, the waqia that you even mentioned there, we don't know where our demise is going to be, but the best thing is for us to keep a good mahol, stick with people who alhamdulillah are taking us towards something which is good, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, like you mentioned, that, you know, may we be amongst those people who pass away whilst offering namaz, may we be amongst those people who pass away in the blessingful month of Ramadan whilst reciting the Holy Quran.
There was one buzurg who passed away, and you know, the people who were there, first hand account, they said to me, they said, all we knew is they were there, everybody was reading, we knew that they were in the last time, and suddenly the room became fragrant. We don't know where from, but it all became fragrant, and then within a few seconds they passed away. Is that another sign?
Yeah, so you will smell the scent of perfume in that area.
SubhanAllah.
A very unique one. Even this, whilst he's being buried, you will smell this scent that you've never smelt before. This is also a good sign of death.
SubhanAllah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And there is this other thing that we kind of miss as well. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, how will I feel when I'm in the, you know, when I'm going through that? And after I've done, my soul has been taken out in the grave, how will it be? Will you be conscious as we are now, or will it be a different realm? Will I be able to see, for example, my body stops responding, will I be able to see you? Will I be able to hear you?
So the Prophet ﷺ, once Hazrat Abu Umar ibn al-Khattab asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, when I die, and they come into the questions of the grave for a good person, will my intellect be intact? And the Prophet ﷺ gives such an amazing answer. He says, when the angel of death comes and asks you, مَا رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي حَقِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ, you will turn around and say to the angels, this is Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, that مَا دِينُكَ, that what is your religion? Who is your creator? What is your religion? And what do you say about this man? And these two angels that have come to ask the question, they will forget that did we come to be to question, or did we come to be questioned?
And the angels, questions.
Yeah, and the Prophet says that this is how you will act in your grave.
Subhanallah. Come to that, it's fascinating stuff. We're going to have I'm going to just wrap up this to move to our next segment, because it's so fascinating. We've run out of time again. Just to kind of summarize, we all don't die the same way. Depending on how you live your life is how you die. And you quoted that beautiful hadith Mubarakah. I mean, I used to think it was an English saying, but you know, that beautiful hadith Mubarakah which basically says that you die the way you live. And so we need to look at our actions and see how we're living life.
I wanted to just finish this segment on a beautiful hadith Mubarakah, which is indeed charity extinguishes the Lord Azza wa Jal's anger and protects us against the evil death as well.
Allah, sadaqah in the way of Allah.
Sadaqah in the way of Allah.
SubhanAllah. Beautiful. We could talk about this for another hour, but we have to move on and move to our second segment, inshallah, which was time. We have to move through this quickly as well. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time, a very precious commodity. Now, we've just had, perhaps for some people, like we mentioned briefly at the beginning, a time of their life where, you know, it was Ramzan Mubarak, because all the way through people say, you know, in Ramzan, I wish I had more time. Well, this time, all we had is time. And wise were those people who used it wisely, and those who even didn't utilize this month, then when are they going to use their time wisely?
In Harumbai, there's an example, I was reading on one of the Risalas that a naive person, he once visits a Hakim, or you can call it a herbalist, a doctor. And he says, describe the benefits, yani give me something, or prescribe me benefits, sorry, that which will make me remain asleep even during the daytime. Yani asleep during the night, Allah, but give me something that will help me sleep during the day as well. So this Hakim, he turns around and he says to him, what sort of a person are you, like, how unwise are you that, you know, say, he gave him an example. He said, if you're going to live for 40 years, technically you sleep for 20 years. And he goes, the other 20 years is, you know, you use towards some, doing something, you know, for your hereafter, for example. But he goes, how much of an unwise person are you that even, say, for example, if you were to sleep for a quarter of that, you're losing another 20 years, I mean, another 10 years. So in effect, you've slept for 30 years and you're going to live for 10 years. So he advised him and he said to him, you know, why are you going to sleep? Why do you, you know, give up the idea of sleeping for the rest of the time and work towards something towards your hereafter. And this is something today that we need to think to ourselves that, you know, Allah Ta'ala, you know, whatever the lockdown came, whatever came with it, the difficulties, etc. But time came with it, and how did I utilize that time? You know, did I use it productively? Did I recite the Quran? Did I learn? Did I attend courses, etc., even online? Or did I spend it oversleeping in ghaflat, in negligence?
I've got a question for you, Shirazbi, and it's not an easy one, but you know, sometimes people ask, when you're watching something, a movie or something, or you're watching a match or something, time flies by. When you sit down to read the Quran or read Nafl, 10 minutes...
Yawning, yeah.
Why?
Can you... Simple answer. It's not a hard question. The simple answer is the Buzurgs found that their entertainment.
Subhanallah.
You know, when there was... I think there was a plague in a certain city, and one of the scholars, or our pious predecessors, before opening his shop, he read 400 Nafls. You know, our Buzurgs, 40 years, woke up for tahajjud. Same wuzu from Isha till the Hajjud they used to keep. All these waqiyats, and a personal question, how did they do it? That's the big question. And the simple, same way today someone could watch a movie all night long, on his own. Not even with friends, for, you know, socially, on his own he could watch it all. These pious predecessors used to like communicating with Allah all night long.
Subhanallah.
This is the simple answer. They found entertainment
in that. That is a very good answer as well, because it makes sense. Because you get these brothers who are talking about these serial dramas, and they say, you know, there are that many episodes, but I sit up at night and I watch 5 episodes in a row, and I'm alright, I get up in the morning and I get back to work as well, and I don't sleep till 3 o'clock. But gosh, rather than watching all these episodes, they'd stayed up till 3 o'clock in the worship and the obedience of Allah, and then still got up at 9 o'clock. And this is where I suppose...
Harumba, you know, one namaz, yeah? One namaz with complete concentration. One namaz with complete concentration, devotion, and consciousness, without letting your mind slip here and there. This one namaz, you will remember for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow. Harumba, if you look at it from this point of view, that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us time, where if you look at it, the rich people and poor people, there's no differentiation.
You don't have to be rich,
you don't have to be poor to get the time, but it's how we utilize that time. And Amir al-Sunnah, he says in Madri Muzakri, etc., the people who utilize their time productively, then alhamdulillah, azawajal, they benefit from it.
You know, a lot of people, what I wanted to touch upon, and we've not got long left, was this. You know, the beginning of lockdown, some were wise. They devised a plan. But some did fall into the trap of the shaitan. See how it develops. What happens in 3 weeks? What happens in 4 weeks? There'll be some who, looking back at Ramzan Mubarak and thinking, okay, Jula, I tried and I got some things done. I finished my Qur'an Pak. I did some zikr. I spent some time learning the deen and learning the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem. There'll be some who are looking back and regretting. Now, okay, they've missed 10, 12 weeks of lockdown. They've not maximized Ramzan. So what is now? Because the shaitan gets you into this sulking mood where you think, well, I've missed it now, I may as well stay there now. It's like the person who, you know, doesn't do anything and then thinks, well, I've wasted the time now. Life is still there. What advice would you give them? Bisharat Bhai first.
Look at it from this point of view, that what time has elapsed is gone. But Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I can move forward, and the things that I've been doing, which unfortunately haven't given me the ability to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as much, recite the Quran as much, or do good actions and good deeds, even serving your parents is a good action and good deed. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, these are things that I'm going to do now.
So how do you say? The simple answer is what come to my head is, like, it's an amazing analogy as well, that a horse starts to run faster when he sees the finishing line. A horse begins to run faster when he sees the finishing line. So when a person knows that I've got one foot in my grave, right, and the finishing point is there, the horse won't slow down now. He thinks, yeah, the end is there, I'll get there, I'll just walk it now. No, he runs faster just for the last 5-10 seconds. He gets there in first place, and now he can relax. The same way, if a person, like generally some people die at the age, very young age, but if a person's like 60 years old, he's 60 year old, he's already got, you know, one foot in his grave, he needs to put more effort in, and he needs to utilize his time more. Even youngsters like us, we don't know when we will pass away. I remember I had a friend, right, we thought we'll grow up together, our children and everyone will grow up together. Passed away at the age of 22, I think his 22nd birthday he passed away. And that was a shock to us. Like, we thought he's going to grow up with us. And even the year after, another friend passed away. Like, we thought he's going to grow up with us. But life is not, you know.
The brother who died in Ramadan, and he was a solicitor. And like I said, he did his sehri, he prayed his fajr, went to sleep, and passed away in his sleep. And you know, a 28-year-old, I think he was. So this is the reality of life. But what about those people who think, well, I've already missed it now, lockdown's going to be over soon, and so what can
every
I do?
Every day is a new day.
Subhanallah.
Just Subhanallah. Because yesterday...
What a beautiful point. Every day is a new day.
Every day is a new day. Yesterday is past, okay? Ask Allah for repentance, He'll forgive that.
Subhanallah.
Tomorrow is a dream. Yeah, the present time is reality. Work hard for that. Live the moment. Make the most. Utilize the time that you have right now.
I mean, the real capital of a man is, if you can say, is his life, isn't it? Like anything, like we put our money, bank balances away, we see an increase, etc. But the real wealth that we have is our life. But when it comes to an end, that's it. It's what we mentioned earlier on. It comes down to your end and eternal abode, yani jannat or jahannam.
That you mentioned a few in one of the earlier episodes, where, you know, we looked at time, and you said that there was that person who was throwing some pebbles at the tree, you remember, and he was trying to pluck the fruit. Mm-hmm. And when the king said to him, "Where did you get
priceless
these from?"
Diamonds,
and they were actually priceless diamonds. You know, these are priceless diamonds. But the other thing is, you know, the great pious predecessor. You know, Allah Hazrat, they say, used to sleep about 4 hours. He used to be constantly busy with work. I've heard one of the Rukni Shuras saying, and I'm sure it's come from the Bargah of Amir al-Sunnah, saying, "Zameen ke upar kaam, zameen ke niche aram." We'll work hard while we're on top of the ground, and that will then dictate that when we're under, you know, when we're in the soil, when they're in the mitti, Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us a relaxed and beautiful life. But, you know, our grave will open up to the gardens of paradise. Whereas those who work hard to make this life into a luxurious life and think this is Jannah, then they will struggle.
It will make it even more difficult at the time of death.
May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to keep our time in check and use it wisely.
Gives we're going to move to fight shaitan as well.
Fight the shaitan as well. Beautiful, mashallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala. Today I've got something very special for you. I've got a hasti, a personality that was really unique. There was nobody like him, and there will not be anybody like him ever. Can you imagine? You know, the whole world is talking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but can you imagine that Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the great companions about this hasti?
Subhanallah.
I mean, and say, you know, there is this devotee of mine who lives in Yemen, and, you know, Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks towards Yemen and kind of breathes and says, you know, the love that's there, and yet he didn't come to the court of Nabi Kareem, despite being alive at the same time. didn't have the opportunity to see Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he didn't get the status of being a Sahabi, but he was the Sayyidul Tabi'i, one of the greatest of those who came in the next generation who didn't see Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Sahaba Ikram Alim Ridwan as well.
Subhanallah, he was just an amazing personality. Hazrat Awais Karni radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
His love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so amazing that despite not seeing, he was brought into the beautiful fold of Islam by some of the companions, and he learned the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and learned the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and acted upon them, so much so that he did something that was so amazing that it left his mark inscribed in the books of history for eternity. He had an elderly mother.
Oh.
And he was in the, and I think the riwayat said that they were blind as well, his mother, and he was constantly looking after him, so he couldn't get away. And he wanted to come to the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wanted to become a Sahabi, and he loved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much. Like I said, that Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to talk about him. And indeed, there's a riwayat that says that Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu, if you meet him, get him to pray for you. I mean, can you imagine his status, the great Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar Farooq, and the amazing Hazrat Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, get Hazrat Awais Karni radiallahu anhu to make dua for you. This is his status. And he gained the status, no doubt through his love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but also the obedience of his mother. And look what, you know, great lesson he left. First of all, he leaves a lesson that no matter how far you are from Medina, Medina should be here. Because he was in Yemen. There was a lot of people who were close to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but nobody closer than him. And then the second message he left was, don't just proclaim the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make your actions speak it. So, you know, if he'd said, I love Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but didn't act upon the teachings of Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wouldn't have got the status. He said, look, no matter what happens, I'm going to act upon the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the best of creation, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, gave the companions glad tidings of this amazing.
Ilm al-Ghaib as well, there's proof of Ilm al-Ghaib.
And the Ilm al-Ghaib of, you know, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And to know, you know, there's a beautiful couplet that slips my mind. But wo aaka kya jisko apne ummati ka pata na ho. You know, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows how we feel. This is why the scholars always say, whenever you have a difficulty, read Durood e Paak and present your needs in the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Say, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, I've committed a wrong of myself. Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are my only hope. You help me and all your problems will be solved. From the great life of Hazrat Awais Karni radiallahu anhu, we get that beautiful, you know, emotion of love that he had, and also obedience in the court of Allah and his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah just give us one little speck of the love that he had. Hamari zindagi guzar jayegi. Honestly, it's amazing. May Allah give us all the ability to act upon the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program today. It was a beautiful program about the journey, the death of the good soul, and then time, and then the great Hazrat Awais Karni. I wish we had more time. I think we're going to have to make an application for some more time and ask for perhaps an hour and a half next time. Let's see what happens. May Allah Azza wa Jalla keep us all in His hifz aman, protect us all from this virus, and protect us all from the virus of diseases of the heart and the mind and the soul. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us all the ability to prostrate in His court. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter.